Hello, and welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I am so excited to be bringing you this episode. This is my episode about my second trimester experience as a new first-time mom-to-be who has not been pregnant before. I did this with first trimester, so I recorded an episode during that time of the experience and then also the biohacks. And so I'm doing that with every trimester. This is the second trimester experience. And then there will also be the second trimester biohacks. They are too long to basically put together, so that's why they're separated. And I would really encourage you to listen to both because every trimester is so different. And so my tips and tricks and recommendations for second trimester are so different than what I would recommend for first trimester in terms of how to be healthy, how to feel good mentally, physically, everything like that. So definitely listen to that. But I'm happy you're listening to this episode today. And it is a shorter episode probably than my first trimester experience because my experience was honestly pretty good. But there are definitely some hardships I went through and I definitely dive into those. Before we dive into any of that though, I want to read a DM I got. I actually just want to say I posted this photo on Instagram, this like Instagram story, and it was my red raspberry leaf tea that I'm drinking. I'm currently in third trimester. I don't even know if I'm more than halfway through third trimester. Am I? Almost. And the amount of people who, first of all, viewed that Instagram story was wild. And then the amount of responses I got, which is so funny because sometimes you post the most random thing and you get like 50 people replying and it's like, what? Okay. And that's exactly what happened. So I also didn't realize I had so many women following me who are currently pregnant, which is wonderful, which is so, so good. So this woman responded, such a cute message. This is the DM of the week, which is like a new feature that I'm doing. And she writes, hi, Brittany. I just wanted to write to you to encourage you. I just had my first baby in September. I did red raspberry leaf tea, dates, the Miles circuit, and tons of walking Pilates during pregnancy. My labor was 4 hours total. My daughter was born at 2 a.m. and we got to the hospital at 12 a.m. It was a wild ride and incredibly painful, but fast. Smiley face. You got this. That is so cute. I got that. And I just had the biggest smile on my face. Like the fact that some stranger took time out of her day to like encourage me for my birth was just like the nicest thing ever. I don't really get a lot of feedback like that or like a lot of messages like that. And so it was just so nice. And so that is the DM of today of this episode is that woman. Thank you so much for that encouragement. I needed that. I need to hear that. Sometimes with birth, we are surrounded by negative stories, horror stories, things that go wrong. And I really want to be around positive birth stories, positive affirmations, visualizations. Yeah, like I had this great birth and I did this and this. And that's what I want to hear because I'm going into birth soon. And so that's my mindset, positive, happy, happy, happy things. Okay. And so I just really appreciate you taking that time to do that. If you want to be DM of the week, you know what you have to do. You have to send me a DM on Instagram. You know, it can be about anything. I get a lot of women writing in about questions about their health or encouragement about the podcast or the business or, you know, anything like that is just great. And I honestly, DMs are my favorite place right now. Actually, okay, so my favorite places on social media are Threads, which is so weird. My Threads account, I post like very different content than my Instagram. I talk about like what it's like to be a podcaster or, you know, to be pregnant and running a business. And so that's like been blowing up and I've been talking to a lot of people on there. DMs are my favorite on Instagram. It is the most personal place that I have with my audience, hands down. Hands down, not the comment section, not TikTok, not Facebook, not anywhere else. It's the Instagram DMs. And then actually that's probably it. I don't even know where I consume content right now. Maybe TikTok, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. And then I guess my stories, I do like posting personal stories because they do so well. It's so stupid. They do so well. And if anyone's listening who has a business account or cares about views or growing their Instagram account, the less amount of stories you post, the better they perform, which sounds counterintuitive, but it has been true. I used to post multiple stories every single day, and the views would be around, like, I don't even know, let's think, like, maybe like 600, 800. And I put, like, for example, like, I posted that story yesterday about the red raspberry leaf tea, almost got 5,000 views. And that was the first story I'd posted, and I didn't post anything else all day. And when I spoke to Facebook Meta, because they called me, we had a little chat. That's what they said. They said less is more when it comes to stories, and let them time out before you post a new one and all of these different things. So that's what I kind of do now. Other things that I've been noticing with stories is I like to post a decent amount of, like, content of text. People hold it down to read it, which tells Instagram, like, that people are interested in it. I don't just post, like, me at the beach. It's like, it'll be some blurb about, like, cold therapy, first time of the season, like, I am pregnant, how do I feel? Okay, I'm doing it less, and this is how my body's reacting, and this is why it's good. And so there's so many different, like, pieces of information for people to pull on to reply. So I usually do 2 to 3 paragraphs, one story at a time, less stories, and my DMs blow up from my Instagram stories. I don't share any content to my Instagram stories anymore. Like, I don't post a reel and then share my reel to my stories. It does not work. People don't look at it. I try not to do anything super curated. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but, like, I don't really promote this podcast, because when I was promoting it, nothing happened. Like, there was no increase in listeners. Like, it was because the content was so curated, people just, like, scrolled past the posts or scrolled past the stories. So now if I do promote this podcast, I will do a story and it will be a photo that I will take in the moment. So maybe it's me on the mic, or me drinking coffee, or me, you know, walking the dog. And then it'll be in the text. It'll say, hey guys, I just posted a new podcast episode. Here's the link, whatever it is. So it's real and it's authentic. The only thing that I will say is I would love to get to a place where I can produce more video podcast episodes, create short clips, then post them as reels on Instagram, like little sound bites that are super captivating that then push people to listen to my episode. That is what I would love to do. I think it's very smart marketing. I just don't have the bandwidth right now. I don't have the team to do all of that type of thing. So that's why the podcast, I don't really advertise it. I guess I advertise it on my website and in my emails, but I don't really advertise it on socials too much, which is probably stunting my growth. But hey, I have so much else going on, so it's fine. And I'm happy with a top 1.5% podcast globally. Okay. I'm happy with that. I would love to be in the top 1%, but I have a baby coming. And so there's only so much I can do every day. Okay. So enjoy this podcast episode. A shout out to Mimeo for being one of the sponsors for this episode. They create a stack of biomimetic ingredients that mimic a 36-hour fast in your body. So if you are somebody who wants to fast, but you don't want the negative side effects, which is, like, a lot of women these days, I would recommend taking this. You know, their product has been proven to be very, very effective. I've taken it on and off multiple times. And it is great for longevity and cellular health. And that is why I love them. They're really, really, you know, changing the supplement game. It's a biomimetic supplement, which basically means it mimics our biology. We have those ingredients in us already. We're just boosting the levels of it, which is phenomenal because they start to decline as we age. Very smart. Very biohacker supplement, which is why I love Mimeo. It's spelled Mimio. You get a discount when you use my code biohackingbrittany. I will link that in the show notes for you. And a shout out to a new sponsor, Recommend. They have very cool products. I actually just released my podcast episode with them recently. And this is a line of supplements that's also supplements, but is really looking at energy and a lot of actually libido for men and for women. Now, I don't know if I should be sharing this, but I'm going to share it anyway. So my husband has taken the man formula. It's called the Man Plus formula. And he has noticed a difference, okay, in his performance and in his libido, if you know what I mean. And I am not kidding when I tell you that I've noticed a difference too, okay? This might be TMI. I don't really care. It's fine. This is like a personal podcast. I will tell you everything. And essentially, it helps with mood, stress, energy, helps to optimize natural vitality, boosts confidence. And it really does help with libido because of some of the ingredients in it. So it helps to promote a healthy and active sex life, which we love, increases passion, intimacy, all of those things. And now, you know, they have a lady formula. So if you're listening and you're somebody who has really low libido or your partner does, this is what I would recommend. That's what they're called. That's funny. This is what I would recommend. I have never used any other sort of like libido enhancer, energy enhancer like this. My husband, again, he loves it. He, how do I say this? Like in such a political, nice way. He wakes up with more energy than normal, you know? So like morning wood or pitching a tent or a morning erection, we'll just say it as it is. So when he started taking this, he noticed an increase in those, which is really interesting. So they also have the lady formula, and I think this is great. I know a lot of women really struggle with libido. A lot of women struggle with libido postpartum or during perimenopause or menopause when our hormones are doing all sorts of things. That would be a phenomenal time to look at something like this. Let me see if I can read the ingredients for you. Okay. So the men's one, vitamin E, zinc. We know zinc is super important for men's hormones. It has things like L-carnitine in it, L-arginine. We've got some nice amino acids. We've got maca in there. We've got cranberry extract, ginseng, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba. So lots of really great herbs that are phenomenal for this. I think it also has tongkat in it. Yeah. So there is quite a bit in there. I'm not going to read the whole ingredient list. And the women's one is very similar, slightly different because, you know, we know women are different. But these are the two products I love from them and what they are known for. I actually think their men's one might be sold out right now. So when you're listening to this, if you want it, go and check it. I will link it in my show notes. Use my discount. They gave me 20% off for you guys, which is wild. So Biohacking Brady, all capitals, 20% off. Definitely check that out. Great gift for your husband. Father's Day is coming up. You know, great for him, but also great for you. If you're somebody who would like a more energetic life, you know, this is something that I would definitely look into for the lady formula. Okay. Enjoy this podcast episode. Shout out to you, the few last few women who have joined my Baby Steps program. Guys, we updated my landing page. Oh my gosh. Okay. Everybody right now, whip out your computer, go to biohackingbrittany.com and click course. Look at my beautiful landing page. Woo! That took a lot of work. Man alive. So it is out. I mean, my course has been out for a while, but it's like officially out. The landing page is done. I think I have to add a couple case studies. So, you know, there's a little bit more left to do, but you can go take a look at that. If you're somebody who's looking to optimize your preconception health and your fertility, run, don't walk, sign up for my 7-week online course and 90-day proven protocol, okay? Proven is the most important word there. This is exactly what I did to get pregnant on the very first try, despite PCOS, irregular periods, and cysts on my ovaries. We tripled my husband's sperm count through my proven protocol. The proof goes on and on. So go and do that. The price will be increasing this summer. And I actually wrote that on the landing page. So I really recommend you sign up as soon as you can. And I'm just really proud of it because Baby Steps, the course, has been something that I have thought about for the last year and a half. To see it come to fruition is phenomenal. Oh, and by the way, this is like, I know I'm getting to the podcast episode. Last thing, I have convinced my husband to come on the podcast. Woo-hoo-hoo! Round of applause. So that is coming. He is going to talk about his experience doing the baby steps protocol, his experience with me getting pregnant, watching me be pregnant, his thoughts on biohacking and like being married to a biohacker. We have so much we're going to talk about. He's finally agreed to do it. So that is going to be such a big episode because he's never been on the show. So you get to hear from him. He's making an appearance, okay? It's not just me over here by myself with my dog. Enjoy this podcast episode. Give me your feedback. Send me a DM. I would love that. And I will catch you next week for another one. Hi, welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I'm so thankful that you are listening. This is a solo episode that I'm recording at the very end of my second trimester, beginning of my third trimester in my first pregnancy. And this is my experience. This is my realities versus expectations episode. This has nothing to do with biohacks that I've done. That will be its own separate episode, exactly like I did for first trimester. So if you haven't listened to the first trimester episode, I'm sure it's out by now. And I would go and listen to it. There's two. One is for the biohacks and the healthy habits that I did. And the other is my experience that I recorded during first trimester, very similar to this. And then I will be doing the same thing for third trimester, just to give you a reality of what pregnancy is like. I wish that I had these types of episodes to go and listen to. Maybe they probably do exist. I guess I just didn't know what to search or how to find them. But I'm happy to produce this type of content that is very personal and goes with my business and my brand and just supports you on your pregnancy journey or if you're thinking about getting pregnant or anything like that. So happy to do this and just, yeah, happy to be in this space to record. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Second trimester, wow, it has been phenomenal, honestly. Like overall, there has been hard parts and I'm going to dive into that, but I'm going to start with the good. Overall, compared to first trimester, it has been great. I was sick for about 6 weeks during my first trimester. Second trimester, I've not had any of that. And it was exactly like what they say of second trimester comes and your nausea just goes away. That's exactly what happened. I think it was around week 14 or so, maybe week 15, that my nausea left. And so that was really great because when I was in the depths of that time of being sick all day, it wasn't morning sickness, it was like all day sickness. I was really concerned that I was going to be one of those pregnant women who was sick her entire pregnancy. And especially when you're pregnant for the first time, you have no idea if you are going to be that person. You hear stories of that and you know it's a possibility and you don't know if that's going to be you. So I was very terrified, you know, during those times, those weeks, that this was going to last the entire 40 weeks. Thankfully, thank God, thank the universe, whoever, that was not the case. And my nausea subsided. This was a blessing and I was so, so grateful for it. Once the nausea went away, I think it was like early January or so, like early second trimester, I felt great. And I felt very much like myself. Aside for some hard things that, again, I'm going to get into, I felt like myself. So the fatigue completely gone. The energy was back boosting. Like just felt so good and no nausea. So I was just so thankful for this. I went back to exercising every single day, eating really healthy food. I stopped eating as much processed food for sure, like drastically stopped, and was basically able to kind of like live how I was pre-pregnancy, which was really, really nice. It's like second trimester, and a lot of women have this experience, is like this time where it's like a relief. It's like a sigh. It's like you're exhaling. You know, you get this like glorious 3 months of, you have the energy, you're sleeping well for most women, and you're feeling great. And that's exactly how I felt. And it was like, just from a health standpoint and from a nutritionist standpoint, I also felt a big sense of relief because I was able to be as healthy as I wanted to again. And it made me feel better about how sick I was during first trimester and made me feel like it was okay. It wasn't okay, but like it was okay that those 6 weeks or however long it was, I wasn't making the healthiest decisions. But before I was pregnant, I was healthy. And now second trimester, I was healthy again. I am so excited to talk to you about a new range of products that I love from Recommend. Are you ready to revitalize your life, enhance your well-being, and unlock the full potential of your body and mind? Let's dive into their premium supplements, Man Plus Formula, Lady Plus Formula, and Clear Focus. First up, we have Man Plus Formula. Oh my gosh, I got my husband on this, and you should see these results. Designed for men who aspire beyond mediocrity, Man Plus Formula isn't just a supplement, it's a beacon of vitality. You can unleash your inner drive, optimize your natural energy, and boost your confidence with ingredients aimed at enhancing libido and stamina. What's really interesting about this supplement is my husband went on it and seriously noticed an increase in his libido. So much so that in the morning, he was waking up happier, if you know what I mean, and just had more stamina and energy throughout the day. So he actually really, really loves this formula. It's got a bunch of vitamins, minerals, and herbs in it designed to really support men's libido, stamina, and drive. The Lady Plus formula is very, very simple. It can help enhance your sexual wellness, support hormonal balance, and revitalize your passion. I think this is super important for any women who are in that postpartum period or menopause or perimenopause or any period if they're just feeling a little lower, not having as much libido or anything in that space. Filled with natural ingredients, and it's really crafted to enhance sensation and pleasure and just promoting a more satisfying experience in general. Last but not least, we cannot forget about getting that mental edge, and you can use their supplement called Clear Focus. It is a cognitive health supplement, and it is really great for mental clarity, and it features their premium ashwagandha extract, helps with the stress, enhance alertness, and supports your brain vitality without any fillers or artificial additives, which we love. So you can use my discount code BiohackingBrittany for 20% off all of these products. I really recommend it. Check out the show notes or on my website. It is linked there. Use my discount code today. Don't wait. Transform your health today and really enjoy supporting your energy, vitality, stamina, libido, and mental clarity through Recommend's premium products. So there was this sense of like, I mean, how do I even put it? Let me read what I wrote in my notes for it. Yeah, just basically making up for first trimester, I guess is what I meant. And that is exactly how I felt. I was like, okay, you know, I'm bouncing back essentially. And yeah. And so if you are coming up to second trimester or you are in second trimester, again, listen to my biohacks episode that comes out about this. But one of my biggest tips for you is like, take advantage of this energy. Take advantage of the desire to exercise, move the body. You wake up, you feel great. Like you can handle a more intense workout. Honestly, take advantage of it because it's not going to last. You don't know if it's going to last into third trimester or postpartum. Probably not, probably going to decline. And it can also just help really with balancing things out depending on how your first trimester was. So definitely take advantage of it if you are experiencing that. And that's exactly what I did. So I continued a lot of the things that I was doing first trimester in terms of like prenatals. First trimester, I really struggled swallowing any type of pill or supplement. So what I did was I actually took the needed powdered version of their prenatal, and I'll link that in the show notes. I have a discount code with them. I think it's BiohackingBrittany in all capitals. In my opinion, Needed is the best, probably one of the top few prenatals that I would recommend that I think is the best on the market. And so when I was struggling to swallow the pills or the supplements, I would take the powdered version. when second trimester came, I was able to go back onto the pill supplement version of it. And that's what I have been taking ever since. So I, supplements wise, I'm taking everything that I was taking. And yeah, honestly, just like felt really good. And so it's weird to record this episode because I think it's going to be shorter than my first trimester one because things were actually pretty great. But, and I hope that this gives you hope as well. If you are in the trenches, you will come out of it and it does get easier for most women. And I hope that is for you. Okay. I want to dive into, there's a couple of other things that are, you know, much more, I have much more to say about. So one of the hardest things, now this is really hard for me to talk about. One of the hardest things in second trimester is that you gain weight, but you don't necessarily look pregnant. So this is hard to talk about. I don't really talk about my weight very often. I have been somebody who has been naturally slim basically my whole life. And I am very healthy outside of pregnancy or somewhat during pregnancy. And I work really hard to, you know, be in the shape that I want to be in. So second trimester was weird because you start to gain weight. I started to gain weight, but you don't look pregnant. Like you don't have a popped belly. So there's nothing cute to like dress up. There's nothing like, it's such a weird time until about like 6 months when your belly pops and then you have this like round shape. So you kind of just are like gaining fat or weight. And for me anyway, this is my experience. So like I was gaining weight and things were getting bigger. Like my boobs were getting, my breasts were getting bigger. My like stomach, my lower stomach was getting bigger. My thighs were getting bigger, but it didn't feel like I was in this like I'm pregnant glow. It was just like I just felt like I don't know how to say this, like almost like flabby and like kind of like meh. And even though my energy was better and I was working out more than first trimester, it didn't matter. It didn't do anything. It didn't move the needle for like weight management at all. And that's not surprising, right? Like the body should be doing what it needs to be doing in order to support the baby. And that's fine. But it was really, it started to mess with my head. And I went through about a month. I don't know when it was. I have to think back. I think it was around week 16 to week 21, something like that. I went through this really mentally tough time where I was hating how my body was looking. And like I said, everything just kind of got softer, flabbier. I was putting on fat for sure. And it just didn't feel like I would, you know, like, how do I explain this? Like I'd go to the gym and my clothes would be tighter and fit different, but I didn't necessarily look pregnant. And so I internalized it as like, oh, this is like some, like, I just don't feel pretty. I don't feel sexy or hot, or I don't feel fit. I don't look fit. And so it was hard. It was really hard to kind of go through that. And at the same time, appreciate, oh my gosh, this is what my body needs to be doing. This is what it should be doing. I should be gaining weight. I should be gaining weight every single week. Right? Like I am developing life. Like, and in my mind, I logically know that. I logically understand. But when you're standing in front of the mirror and you've gained weight and you know your body so well for so long, for 30 years, and then it starts to look different, it just messes with your brain. And I can't, unless you've been through it, it's really hard to explain. I'm definitely somebody who has had body image issues probably my entire life. I think majority of women probably have. And that has stemmed from so many different places. That has stemmed from things that my family has said to me growing up, friends, society, jobs that I've had, you know, things that people have said that have been good and things that people have said that have been bad and have like shaped my view on what I should look like. And again, I think like so many women go through that. And so we're very much like we're very much taught in society that, you know, fit is better, slim is better. And obviously there is some truth to that in terms of health data and, you know, biomarkers for sure. I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm more talking about just the overall aesthetic and image. And it was really hard to accept that I wasn't looking like that ideal version of myself anymore and what I liked to look like. And it was tough. It was really tough. And it made me reflect a lot on how I view my body, how I view my self-worth as a woman and in society. Like, I started asking these questions of, do I feel more valuable as a woman in society when I look better? And what is better? Is better fit? Is what size is better? What constitutes that? And these are all very subjective questions and subjective answers. And I'm not shaming anybody or anything. That's like not what this episode is about at all. This is my experience as somebody who has gotten pregnant, who is pregnant for the first time. So what really made that whole narrative hard was me weighing myself. So this started in first trimester. I don't remember if I talked about it on that episode or not, but I gained weight really quickly in first trimester and it screwed with my brain. So from the get-go, I think in first trimester, I gained almost 10 pounds and that is more than normal. Okay. So normal first trimester is like 4 to 5 pounds, 4 to 6 pounds, according to, you know, all of these different associations who I don't even know if I agree with what they're saying. So, you know, you read online and you put in like week 7, I've gained 5 pounds, or like, this is how much I started before I was pregnant. Now I'm weighing this. Is this normal? And there's so many articles on it. And you go down this rabbit hole of like, what does this mean? And what should I do? And like, am I gaining too much weight? And then what was really hard, obviously, during first trimester was I felt so sick. So like there wasn't any motivation or ability to really do much until that sickness left. And then so second trimester, I was doing a lot of like eating healthy, exercising every single day, taking the dog every day for a walk, like trying to do these things, but I was still gaining weight. And that was really difficult. Really difficult. It was really hard for me to accept that I was somebody who was so healthy before pregnancy, and yet my weight gain was way more than what was recommended. And even though my BMI, you know, if you believe in BMI, my BMI has been, for the last few years, has been like the lower range of normal. So sometimes when women are have a low BMI and they gain more weight, that's like what we kind of expect and kind of what you want. But for me, I'm like in the normal range. I'm just at the low end of the normal range. So it was hard to do that. And then I would weigh myself and then I would feel like crap. And then I would go to my midwife appointments and they'd be like, how much do you weigh? Can we weigh you? And then I'm just being weighed in front of my husband and my midwife. And like, it's so triggering, even though those are people that I'm like my husband, I'm 100% comfortable with. But the midwife, like I'm supposed to trust and feel okay with. And so it really was these triggering moments again and again of feeling like, wow, what can I do here? What's wrong with me? Why is this happening? Why have I gained more weight than normal? And it's hard also with second trimester because you're coming up to like the 50% mark of where you're at. Like, so say you come up to like week 20, week 21. It's really hard at that time because you're like, oh, I have another 20 weeks to go. So when you've gained more weight than you should have, and then you think about your timeline, you're like, holy crap. Personally, I found that I did not see the light at the end of the tunnel in second trimester at all. It wasn't like, oh, the baby's coming soon. It's fine. Postpartum, we'll work on this. Like there wasn't any of that dialogue. It was like, holy smokes, I have another 4 to 5 months. Like I'm going to be massive. Like I'm probably going to gain 60 pounds. I don't know, whatever whatever number it is. So it got to a point where like the numbers were toxic and my thoughts were toxic around it. And it was really, really hard. I was wearing clothes that were like super baggy, which was ridiculous looking back, but I was. Again, I didn't have a bump. I didn't have anything cute to show off and I just felt flabby. And if you were to see me walk down the street, you probably wouldn't think that looking at me. But you know, when you have body image issues, the way that you see yourself is not how other people see you. When you look in the mirror, you see like problematic areas, you see issues, you see things that are wrong. And that like really came out in this like 1 month that I had. So it was really difficult. I felt, I don't even know. And then I was weighing myself and so I just, I don't know. I got to a point where I stopped weighing myself, essentially. I put the scale away. I think I was weighing myself once a week, maybe. It wasn't every day. But then I put the scale away and I just said, like, this is more harmful than helpful. I don't need to know. And so when I would go to my midwife appointment, I would just say, I think I've gained around like 20 pounds, whatever it was, you know, whenever the appointment was. And so it was hard. And then on top of that, I use different apps like pregnancy mama apps. So to help me answer my questions or like have a community. So like one of the ones that I recommend that I really like is called What to Expect. And so there's lots of forums on there and that's how I track my pregnancy week by week and like what fruit am I this week and like what size is the baby and all these things. And so it's interesting in there because I got added to the July 2024 mama due date group. And there's like forums in there and there's posts in there of women who are like, I've only gained 5 pounds by week 20. Is that okay? And then I read that and I've gained like however many pounds, 20 pounds, 18 pounds. And I'm like, holy smokes, like I can't read this. This makes me feel like shit about myself. And it was really hard. And I just did not feel pretty at all, even though it's so weird because second trimester, you have all of this energy and you mentally feel good. And I like crushed it in my business. I did so much work during second trimester, like these last few months. Like I did so much. We bought a house, we're moving, like all of these things. But, you know, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, like I just felt very out of touch with my body. And it was really hard. And so if you're going through that yourself, what I will say is a couple of things that helped me was watch the dialogue. So watch the things that you're Googling, the posts that you're reading, the forums that you're reading. If you're reading things about weight, I would stop. It's not helpful. It's really not helpful. I would stop weighing yourself. I did completely. I just couldn't take it anymore. I don't know the last time I've weighed myself now. Like I got to a point where I got to a point where I just couldn't manage it. I couldn't manage it. And do the things that make you feel comfortable. For me, again, I stopped wearing a lot of tight clothing or form-fitting clothing. I just was kind of in t-shirts and like longer t-shirts and Lulu leggings type of thing. And it's kind of how I felt best. And that was that. I just had to, I don't know, had to get through it really. And I will say the best thing that happened was that as the pregnancy continues to go on, you obviously continue to gain weight, but then you actually do get a belly. So my belly popped around week 22, maybe something like that. And that was great because once your belly pops, you stop feeling like this flabby person who's just kind of like unfit and you actually start looking more pregnant. And I find like the week, like six months or so, like that's when the glow sets in. So like your skin, your hair, your breasts are bigger, like your face is filled up more. Like I've definitely gained weight in my face. Oh my gosh, like I don't need any filler. Like it's so funny. In my forehead and my cheeks, I don't, like it's just filled with fat and healthy hormones. And the amount of people who come up to me and they're like, or have messaged me on Instagram who like, you are glowing. And I'm like, yeah, that's the, you know, that's the fat deposits. Like that's the hormones doing its thing. So the light at the end of the tunnel of feeling insecure about your body during pregnancy is that once the bump comes, typically like that's kind of when the glow really amps up. And so you kind of enter this nice period of I'm pregnant and I look pregnant. So I started, you know, and this was like later on in second trimester. So you kind of, I had to go through the hard part first. And so then it got to a point where I was like wearing rompers and wearing tight dresses because now I had this bump that was cute and I could dress it up. And like, I stopped feeling bad about any weight gain and it really got a lot better. So let's talk about Mimio, a breakthrough longevity supplement that hacks your biology to help you look and feel younger. It was created by PhDs in nutrition from over 7 years of clinical research, and Mimio was designed to mimic the longevity benefits of fasting in a simple daily pill. Not only has Mimio been shown to extend lifespan in animals by 96%, but users have been able to take as much as 2.5 years off their biological age in just 8 weeks. How? Mimio's groundbreaking biomimetic formula uses a patented blend of all-natural metabolites that work together to help your cellular health from the inside out. First, there's OEA, which is a metabolic supercharger clinically proven to help control appetite and promote fat metabolism so you can crush those cravings and silence food noise throughout the day. Then there's spermidine, the cellular autophagy activator, helping clear out cellular junk to boost cognition, clear brain fog, and refresh your cells. Next, there's nicotinamide, a broad-spectrum NAD plus booster that's been shown to improve everything from metabolism to skin glow to immune health. And lastly, there's PEA, one of the body's most powerful rest and repair molecules that helps control inflammation, relieve discomfort, and enhance recovery so you can get that youthful energy back. Mimio is designed to work like a super fast, super efficient fasting diet, but without actually having to fast. It's all about tapping into the power of your own biology, giving your body the cheat code to work its best, making you feel younger and healthier today. You can try Mimio today. Use my discount code at checkout, which is BiohackingBrittany. And you can get all of these benefits in a simple supplement today. Again, that's Biohacking Brittany in all capitals. So definitely try it and let me know what you think. That's what I will say about that. It's very similar, not very similar. Like the nausea was not really mental toughness, but the weight gain was mental toughness for sure. And I also came around, I changed my thinking around it as well because I was so healthy during second trimester and working out, I did Pilates, I did Mama Pilates, I did the Peloton, I did the sweat workouts at home, I was lifting weights, I was stretching, like everything. I went in the sauna once. And I would say that I got to a point in my thinking of like, I'm doing all of these healthy things. And this is how my body's reacting. I'm still gaining weight. I'm still more than what is typical. And that's okay. This is what my body needs to do for my baby. This is what my body needs to do to prepare me to be able to produce enough breast milk and support my delivery and my birth and my child. And so because my actions were so healthy and I was proud of how I was treating myself, I was okay with gaining more weight, especially once the bump came. But it took me a long time to get to that mental state, and I went through a hard time. And then when I got my new midwife in Ontario, whose name is Barb, she's fantastic. She said the same thing. She was like, I am not worried about your weight gain because you are so healthy. I think your body is just doing what it needs to do in order to support you. Like, your blood volume is doubling. You have your placenta, your breasts are getting bigger. Like you have your amniotic fluid. Like she's like, I am not worried about you. She's like, if you weren't active and you were eating McDonald's every single day and you had gained this weight, that would be a different discussion. But because of your actions and you're a nutritionist and I trust what you're eating, she was not concerned. And so that also put me at ease because I had the medical support that reassured me that my journey was okay. If you're with a doctor or a midwife who doesn't make you feel like that, please find somebody new. Please. The first midwife I had in BC was horrific. So her practice was out of her house. She was the only person in the area who would do home births. So I kind of had to go to her. And she would be sitting typing on her computer during my meeting and barely look at me, ask me questions, type out the answer, ask questions, type out the answer. And then it was so impersonal. And I was like, I'm supposed to trust you with delivering my child? Like, this is awkward. I don't feel like I even know you. Like, you don't make me feel seen or heard or understand what I'm going through. And then when we bought our house in Ontario, we decided we were going to move and all of these things, I had to get a new midwife. And this new midwife is phenomenal. She lays out all the options for me, tells me the pros and cons of everything, and lets me decide. She walks me through everything, talks to me, does like physical checkups, is so understanding. She's done over 1,000 births. Over half of them have been home births. Like, could not ask for somebody who is better. And the difference was crazy between the two of them. So I really encourage you, if you don't feel supported by your birth team, find somebody new. Find somebody new if you can. Seriously, if you can. I really, really recommend it. Okay. So that's what I have to say about weight gain. Now, at the point that I'm at, I feel really good. I feel like I'm still above the normal for weight gain. I'm not weighing myself right now. I don't need to know. And I am proud of my body. Sometimes it's still hard, especially as more and more clothes start to not fit anymore. But I also know that postpartum Brittany will be very like into being healthy and getting fit and all of these things, because that's how I am. So I'm also not worried as much about it. But yeah, that's something I definitely went through. And I don't hear a lot of women talking about that. I just hear a lot of women like either glamorizing all of pregnancy with the glow or saying how hard pregnancy is. But I don't hear a lot of people talking about like the women who have had body image issues on and off low-key for their entire lives and what it's like to gain weight for the first time. Because this is the first time. This is easily the first time I've ever gained 20 pounds more than normal than I've normally been. For sure. Like, for sure, this is the biggest I've ever been in my entire life. And so, yet it's for pregnancy, so I'm supposed to just accept that. But it still messes with your head. And I don't see people really talking about that. So I hope this like helps you if you're going through that. Okay. The other big topic that I want to talk about, which is hard to explain, I guess. Not super hard to explain, but it was hard to go through. So at week 20, you have your anatomy ultrasound, your anatomy scan. This is about halfway through your pregnancy, and this is to understand how the baby's developing. This is when you find out the gender, and you can see if there's any real issues going on with the baby, a bunch of different things that you can get, a bunch of different data that you can get from this. I was so on the fence about doing this ultrasound. So on the fence. So we did the 6-week dating ultrasound. And then I haven't had any other ones since then. And then this second one, which is the, like I said, the anatomy scan. I was so on the fence about it. So the reason that I was on the fence was because a lot of the time, with ultrasounds and with testing in general during pregnancy, if anything comes back that is somewhat not normal or is a negative result, it can force you to no longer qualify for a home birth with a midwife. And I'm so set on having a home birth with a midwife and a doula. And I was terrified that there would be something wrong, quote unquote wrong, that would force me to be out of that. Now, nothing can force you to do anything, right? So I could still have a home birth, but like there would be no midwives there. So it would just be me and a doula or me by myself. And for my first pregnancy, it's not what I want to do. And I was really worried about this. And not just with this ultrasound, with the other tests that you are asked to do during second trimester as well. Because again, if they find anything that is somewhat wrong or you have a false positive, which can happen a lot, then you are suddenly declared a high-risk pregnancy and you have to have a hospital birth here in Canada or the States. And so I went back and forth so much with my husband, with my midwife of like, let's talk about this. So say I do this ultrasound and something, some sort of test comes back and there is something that says like, hey, like, you know, your baby might, you know, your amniotic fluid is low. For example, you are now classified as high risk. You might have a higher risk birth. We don't think you can do a home birth anymore. Something like that. Or with the gestational diabetes test, oh, you got a bad result. Okay, so now we think you have gestational diabetes. Could be a false positive, could be true, could not be true. And now you have this diagnosis and we don't recommend a home birth anymore. So again, I was going back and forth of like, is it worth it in the first place to do the testing, to get the data when the data could be false? And then impact the rest of my pregnancy and impact my birth. Now, the other thing with this is that there are so many false positives that actually do happen with all of these tests. So like example, with the genetic testing you can get done, there can be false positives. So that was a discussion as well. It's like, what if we do some sort of genetic testing? I'm forgetting the names of these tests. I can put them in the show notes. But you are asked if you want these tests and you can do this genetic testing that shows, you know, your baby might have cerebral palsy or it might have whatever other condition that they can pick up early on. Like, and then you have the option, to be frank, to like terminate your pregnancy, but it could be a false positive. And so then what happens, you know, and that's obviously a personal decision for everybody of like what they do with that data and what they do with that information. Are they going to terminate the pregnancy? Are they going to keep the pregnancy going? Is it a false positive? All of these things. So this was really hard because in the biohacker world, you know, you think more data is better. So the more testing we do, the more wearables we have, the more we can understand how we're sleeping, how our activity, our blood, our age, our cellular age, our all of these things, like the better, then we can make more informed decisions. But with pregnancy, I did not find that this was the case, okay, at all. I went the complete opposite way of like, I don't want to know. Because if I know, then I don't want to be forced to make a decision I don't want to make. Also, I don't want to be forced into a hospital birth. And I don't want the fear and stress for the rest of my pregnancy based off of this result. So, for example, say if I got gestational diabetes, I had that test, that's what it said, then the rest of my pregnancy, I would be so worried about it and so concerned about it and like worried about how it's going to affect my baby. Is my baby, do they have a higher risk of diabetes now? Like, and their blood sugar and their insulin, like, and on, it would create so much stress. And then stress is stressful for the baby. So it's like, is it really that important to get tested and know these things? So I was so on the fence about all of this. And it was really hard as somebody who knows so much about health and data and tracking and understands informed decisions. I just didn't see a clear answer. And I spoke to my midwife about it. And she was like, you know, with the 20-week ultrasound, she was like, this is what could happen. Yes, there something could come back that could say, you know, we think there might be an issue. We think there might be a problem. Your baby's head is different or the brain is showing this or whatever it might be. But she said, if you go and you get a good result, you have all green flags for your home birth, which can then make you feel 100% sure in yourself and in your baby that your home birth is going to be successful and healthy, and your birth is going to be healthy in general. So when she kind of laid it out like that, I was like, oh my gosh. And my husband was really pushing for the 20-week ultrasound because he wanted to know the gender. I personally didn't care about knowing the gender. I could have waited, you know, I could have waited and not cared, but he really wanted to know. So all in all, what I decided was I want the green flags for a home birth. Okay, I'm going to do it. So I did the 20-week ultrasound, but I did not do the gestational diabetes test, and I did not do any genetic screening, and I did not do, there's a couple other ones I didn't do. I think, what else? There was one other test I didn't do. I'd have to look it up, but I didn't do anything else essentially. So I just did that ultrasound, and I didn't want to do the like anything else. And my midwife didn't force me. I was like, this is how I feel about this gestational diabetes test. Like, this is, I don't think it's something that I can benefit from. I think it's going to cause more stress and worry. I don't want to sit and drink this glucose drink and be forced to test myself 3 hours later. There can be false positives, all of these things. So she supported my decision and I didn't do it. And I want you to, if you are pregnant, I want to like really encourage you that you don't have to do anything. All of these tests, all of this monitoring is optional. So really make the informed decision and make the best decision for you. If it's feeling like they're forcing you to do it, again, you need to get a different provider and take it upon yourself to educate yourself on these tests so that you understand your rights and what you can say yes and what you can say no to. So looking back, I am happy on my decision. And I am happy because we found out we are having a boy, which is funny because I thought I was a girl. I will probably post our little gender reveal video at one point that we did with my dog, Moose. It was really funny. And yeah, so that is kind of, yeah, it was all green flags. The baby was really healthy. And the placenta as well is really healthy. It is a, let me get this right, posterior placenta, anterior. It's whatever the one is where it's on the side of my stomach. So for a while, it was harder for me to feel the baby move. It is high enough away from my cervix. So there's no issues about it blocking the cervix come birth, which is great. And so it was worth it in my mind. But am I only saying that because I got all green flags? Probably. So take it with a grain of salt. Again, I didn't do any other testing. I don't plan on doing any other ultrasounds. I don't plan on doing any other testing at all because I just, again, I don't want the stress of it. I don't want to be over-informed. I really believe that the body knows what it's doing and I trust my body. Right? Like I trust my body during pregnancy to be able to develop this baby and be able to give birth to this baby. I trust my body. I trust it knows better than what I know in my mind or what some doctor knows. The one thing I did get tested was my iron levels. And that is because when did I get it tested? At the beginning of second trimester, we did a blood work panel and I was okay with that because there was nothing that could come back from that that would be super red flag. You know, this is risky. And one of the things that came back was like my iron was a little low. So I started supplementing with iron and that made me feel very energetic and much better as well. So I take the needed iron. Again, I'll link it in the show notes. Great one. No constipation from it whatsoever. No issues. I take 2 a day and then I will be upping it to 3 a day for third trimester because third trimester, the baby takes even more iron from your body than during second trimester. So it's really important. And I will say, I had no issues with iron before I was pregnant. None. I've never been anemic and never had such low iron levels before. And I've had my iron and my ferritin tested multiple times. So it was very shocking that I had low levels. If you're somebody who's pregnant and feeling very, very fatigued, I highly recommend getting your ferritin levels checked and your hemoglobin levels checked, because there's a chance that that is contributing to your fatigue. And I wish that I had known that a bit more in first trimester, because I would have started, I would have started taking iron right away once I found out I was pregnant, and I didn't. And it probably would have helped with how tired I felt. Anyway, so that is where I'm at. Second trimester, all in all, has been good, minus the mental struggle of weight gain, minus the debating on how much data I wanted to know, what I was going to do with it, the biohacker in me versus like the naturalist in me, you know, which side do we go here? And I think I made the right decisions for everything. And I'm happy to be in a better place now than I was mentally as well. That's basically all I have to say. Second trimester was a blessing. Like, thank goodness I felt so much better. I hope, if you are listening to this, I hope you feel better during second trimester than first. It's the energy is like unparalleled to anything. Enjoy it. And again, take advantage of it as much as you can. Stay tuned. I will produce my second trimester biohacks episode. And I'm going to talk a lot in that about like the things that I recommend. So things like pelvic Pilates, pelvic physiotherapy, EMF clothing, that's really important. PRP facials that you can do using the pelvic wand, which is very interesting. Swimming, exercise, hydration, all of those things. And just like my tips and tricks that I recommend. This, it would have just been too long to do in one episode. So this episode was like solely based on my experience. If you're not following me on Instagram, please do so. Biohacking Brittany. TikTok is biohacking. Please love and subscribe and listen to this podcast. It means a lot to me. And if you have any questions about your pregnancy, my DMs are open always. The amount of women in my DMs lately is wild. So send me a message. It's me. I don't have like an assistant. It would be nice, but I don't. And so I will get back to you about your questions. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. And I will catch you soon for my second trimester biohacks episode. Thanks for listening to another episode of Biohacking with Brittany. If you're interested in finding the show notes or the sponsors for this episode, you can do so on my website, which is biohackingbrittany.com. Remember to follow me on Instagram, where I'm most active. My handle is @biohackingbrittany. And if you're interested in working together and you want to email me directly, you can do that. My email is info@biohackingbrittany.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and having you tune in next week.